Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and it's a delight to be with you today. Welcome to an hour of mind power. Well, we're having a bit of a challenge. My guest today is in Australia, and we have been given a conference number to reach her, and so far we have not been able to make that connection. So we're still waiting, and hopefully we're going to be able to get through to her sooner rather than later. Of course, there are many hours ahead of us in Australia, so who knows what has occurred. This is Donna Sebo. We are going to be chatting for a little bit while we're hoping that we're going to be able to make that connection with her so she can pick up wherever it is that she is located. Meanwhile, we can open our phone lines temporarily, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. And I will be waiting for my engineer to fill me in on the information of whether or not we have been able to make that connection. All right. Leadership is a tightrope. Ethics are your balance pole. Leadership is a tightrope. Ethics are your balance pole. Wow. With this being the election period and we are being bombarded with all kinds of information, there is so much that is coming forth regarding ethics. And I came across some material that I thought I would share with you because I think it makes a statement that is a very important one. And it has to do with what we want to establish as personal standard. And this is how the information was presented to me. It says, we usually see leaders as winners, charging ahead to inspire people to overcome obstacles, and, of course, triumph. However, sometimes it takes a bit of wisdom to understand that we need to have what's called ethical listening, and it can create another kind of winning leadership. This is about a gentleman by the name of Rick. He was an attorney, and, of course, we've all heard jokes about attorneys. He was a very successful personal injury attorney. And this was a challenge that came up in front of him. There was a couple that came to see him about the suffering of their teenage daughter. And this was an unusual case, and she was not an ordinary situation. She was confined to a nursing home, and every day was a struggle for her because she was suffering from a degenerative disease, the same one that had killed her sister, her twin sister. And they expected that that was going to be her fate as well. However, what happened to this young woman who was suffering from this very serious condition was really pretty ugly. She had been assaulted in her room at the home that she was staying in, the nursing home. Her father was just absolutely as angry as anyone could be. He wanted to sue the facility. The mother didn't want to. She said, they have really taken good care of our daughter, and we know how much the staff there cares, and I just don't think we should do it. So here is Rick sitting and listening as an attorney. Now, what do you think his first response would be? Well, if you watch enough of the ads on television, you'd think, wow, he'd really want to snap up this case because they would be guaranteed to win with this kind of a situation. But he took a different stance with it. He knew, as I said, that they could win a minimum of $1 million, and his share from that would be about $300,000. But he just couldn't go with the father's anger, and he really had to think about this case. He said, here was a couple who had been married for a number of years. They loved their two daughters. One had died not that long before. here is this awful situation that happened to the other daughter. They were very divided over suing, over pursuing this case. But he took a different stance. He said he believed they could win the lawsuit. And he told them, I recommend that you do not sue. They were stunned. The mother was relieved, but she couldn't understand why an attorney would say this. The father didn't know what to say. Well, this is what his response was to them. He said, you have your lives ahead of you. Your daughter is terminally ill. You know she is going to be dying, perhaps pretty soon, from this horrible disease that has assaulted her body. If you go through this lawsuit, your suffering is going to intensify beyond belief. It's going to go on for a number of years, more than likely, and it's going to destroy this wonderful, loving relationship that has enabled you to endure so many difficulties. He left them with some thoughts that really were making them think. But he said, I want you to know something. If both of you together decide that you want me to represent you and you want to go to court over this, I don't recommend that you do this. I'll be here for you if you want me to do it. But I really think you should give this some thought. Well, the couple went home. They had some conversation, and they really did talk out a lot of the concerns. And they decided he was correct. They weren't going to sue the facility. And what Rick did, he said he had to make a choice. He said, $300,000 plus, it's not bad. That's quite a bit of money. Make him comfortable for a long time. But he said, when he listened to what the couple said, how they expressed the feelings, and what they communicated to him about what their needs really were, his integrity wouldn't allow him to take the case. He said he saw them as individuals who depended on him. And he decided he wanted to focus on healing the situation and not just triumphing for them. That's pretty tough and ethical listening, isn't it? Makes you think. Also gives you a whole different appreciation for the man who was a personal injury attorney. I think lots of times people get so caught up in things they don't realize the bigger picture. And in his mind, the lawsuit was a win. There was just no question about that. But what he saw as the result of the action they would have to pursue, the trauma that this couple would go through, then having to deal with the death of a daughter, the question really was, do you want to go through this when you know, really, that this was just an individual that did this act and not the staff at the hospital, not the facility? Holding someone responsible for their actions is one thing, but to just sue for the sake of suing. These people found another way of dealing with the situation. And this is a man that decided he was going to live his life with integrity and not anything less than that. I thought I would share that with you today because I feel that it is so significant. Most of the time when we hear about various situations in life, and I related to this especially because my husband and I had a situation many, many years ago that an attorney did the same thing with us. There was a particular condition we were experiencing, and we knew that we had a case, and we were so agitated, so emotionally involved with the situation, and he very patiently listened to us, and he said, I can guarantee you, you will win this case, but I want you to know something. In this state, it will take you a good 5 years And the person that this is all evolving about is going to be out of the picture totally. And you will have spent tens of thousands of dollars. Is this really where you want to go with it? And we were stunned. And just like this attorney, he said to us, is this really where you want to go? Is this really what you want to do? And we were like that couple that I just was talking to you about. We said, in due reflection, it's not worth the stress. It isn't worth the money. It isn't worth the agitation and the aggravation, which obviously is going to contribute to the stress. So there are times, and believe it or not, there are those people that have those ethics, and they will present that information. So we had to make a choice, just like this couple did. And upon reflection, in fact, we were talking about this not too long ago, we realized that we did make the best choice for ourselves because we had an option of getting on with our lives. There are some situations where you may not want to do that, but isn't it nice to know that people will give you information so you can make a choice? And that's what this attorney did, and that's what an attorney did with us many years ago. So there are the good guys out there. For all the jokes about attorneys, there are the good guys out there. Well, somehow or another, it seems as if we have not been able to make that connection with Rebecca Fannin. My engineer has not been able to do that, so we are going to keep on moving along. And so I've got different things that I'm going to be sharing with you. We're also opening up the telephone lines, and the telephone numbers to call in to are the following, 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. I want to thank those of you that are sending me stories and information. I'm going to be sharing some points of information that were passed along to me because I really think they are important. And if you yourself would like to do the same, send it to Donna@DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna@DelphiInternational.com. And then I will be able to respond to you. Okay, I want to share this email with you from a gal by the name of Debbie. This, to me, when I was reviewing it before the show today, it just really gave me chills. Because having had in my own family and having had so many clients and friends that have been affected by the horrific ugliness of narcotic addiction with members of family and, again, friends and others that we've known, this was something that was just beyond me. And Deb said, Donna, I really think this is important, so I'm sending this out to you, and this is the reason why I want to share it with you. This is about the latest drug in middle school. It's called Dusting. And this is by a police officer. His name is Jeff. And he and his family live in a city which is known nationwide for its crime rate. He didn't mention the city. But he said, I want to tell you a little bit about me and my family. He said, the city that we live in has a lot of gangs and a lot of drugs. He said, at one point we were number two in the nation in homicides per capita. I also have a police canine named Thor. He's been trained and certified in drugs and general duty. He retired at 3 years of age because he was shot while on duty. And he lives with my family now. I still train with him because he loves it. I've always liked the fact that there was no way to bring drugs into my house. Thor wouldn't allow it. Thor would tell on anybody that brought drugs in. And he said, the reason I'm telling you this information is so you understand that I know all about drugs. I have taught in schools about drugs. He said, my wife asks all our kids at least once a week if they've used any substances. Now, he said, I enjoy building computers occasionally and started building a new one in February of 2005. I also was working on some of my older computers. They were full of dust. So on one of my trips to the computer store, I bought a three-pack of Dust Off. Now, Dust Off is a can of compressed air to blow dust off of a computer. A few weeks later, when I went to use one of them, they were all empty. I talked to my kids, and my two sons both said they had used them on the computer and were messing around with them. He said I was pretty upset because these three cans had cost me $10, and I felt like it was a waste of money. So on February 28th, he went back to the computer store. They didn't have the three-pack, which I bought on sale, so I bought a single jumbo can of dust. I went home, set it down beside my computer. Now, on March 1st, I left for work at 10 p.m. Just before midnight, my wife went downstairs, kissed our son Kyle goodnight. At 5:30 the next morning, Kathy went downstairs to wake Kyle up for school before she left to work. He was propped up in bed with his legs crossed and his head leaning over. She called him a few times to get up. He didn't move. He would sometimes tease her like this and pretend he fell back asleep. He was never easy to get up out of bed. She went, shook his arm. Kyle fell over. He was pale white and had the straw from the dust-off can coming out of his mouth. He had the new can of dust-off in his hand. My son Kyle was dead. I'm a police officer, and I've never heard of this. My wife is a nurse. She had never heard of this. We later found out from the coroner after the autopsy that the only propellant from the can of dust-off was in his system. No other drugs. Kyle had died between midnight and 1 a.m. I found out that using dust-off is being done mostly by kids ages 9 through 15. They even have a name for it. It's called dusting. Take off from the dust-off name. It gives them a slight high for about 10 seconds. It makes them dizzy. A boy who lives down the street from us showed Kyle how to do this about a month before I got the cans of the stuff. Kyle showed his best friend, told him it was cool and it couldn't hurt you. It's just compressed air. It can't hurt you. His best friend said so. My son was wrong. It's not just compressed air. It also contains a propellant called R2. It's a refrigerant like what's used in your refrigerator. It's a heavy gas, heavier than air. When you inhale it, it fills your lungs and keeps the good air, with oxygen, out. It's why you feel dizzy, buzzed. It decreases the oxygen to your brain, to your heart. It kills you. The horrible part about this is that there is no warning. There is no level that kills you. It's not cumulative or an overdose. It can just go randomly, terribly wrong. It's not an overdose. You don't die later or not feel good and say, I've had too much. You usually die as you're breathing it in. If not, you die within 2 seconds of finishing the hit. That's why the straw was still in my son's mouth when he died, while his eyes were still open. The experts want to call this huffing. The kids don't believe it's huffing, and that's why it's more accepted. There's no chemical reaction, no strong odor. It doesn't follow the huffing signals. My son had complained a few days before he died of his tongue hurting. It probably did. The propellant causes frostbite. I wish I'd known. It's easy to say, hey, it's my life and I'll do what I want, but it isn't. Others are always affected. This has forever changed our family's life. I have a hole in my heart and a soul that can never be fixed. The pain is so immense, I can't describe it. There's nowhere to run from it. I cry all the time, and I don't ever cry. I do what I'm supposed to do, but I don't really care. My kids are messed up. One of my children won't even talk about it. The other will only sleep in our room at night. And my wife? I can't even describe how badly it has affected her. I thought we were safe because of Thor. I thought we were safe because we knew about drugs and talked to our kids about them. After my son died, another story came out. There was a probation officer. He went to the school system next to ours to speak with a student. While he was there, he found a student using dust-off in the bathroom. The student told him about another one who also had some in his locker. This school is a very affluent one. They will tell you they don't have a drug problem there. They don't even have a DARE or a PLUS program there. So, rather than doing what needed to be done, they chose to ignore it. This is a father who wanted to make his knowledge public. And that's one of the blessings of the Internet, is information and passing it along. But this is so significant. I want to thank Deb for sending it to us. Kids are always looking for different ways to explore and to experiment. And this is an era that is not, well, it's just got so much stuff out there. I don't know how everybody can keep up with it. But I thought that this was a good story to share with you today, because this is a police officer, his family, affected by something that, again, he thought he had all kinds of education about, which he does. But there's always something new coming in. Sometimes I think the best way to stay informed is to have a good communication with the peer groups within the teenage environment. And sometimes if you can get them to talk to you or to communicate what is the latest hot thing, they may let you know. But who would have thought that this kind of a product would have created such a result? Not this family. So just wanted to give that out to you so you could share it with someone, stay on the alert, be aware, and I know you can't live your life in fear, but nobody ever wants to have an experience like that, so it's education. And again, thanks to Deb. This is Donna Sebo. Telephone lines are open. We have not been able to reach my guest, Rebecca Fannin, and so we are going to just keep moving along. The phone number to call into if you would like to chat with me is 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756, also 530-876-3222. And by the way, I'm going to try to connect with Rebecca again. I don't know what happened with the conference line, but we will try to have her on because her book, Silicon Dragon, is absolutely awesome, and I do want to let you know about that. Yesterday, I ran out of time, and I was talking about animals who are a lot smarter than we think. Animals, for example, like the dolphins, they have been known throughout history to risk their lives to help others. They're not only known as being friendly and intelligent, but scientists through research have found out they're very empathetic. They really like being around humans. And they frequently have been found to run, rescue injured divers by raising to the surface, a behavior they also show towards injured members of their own species. And there's a rescue that occurred in New Zealand. There were a group of dolphins that held off a great white shark for 20 minutes, allowing three people to make it safely to shore after this huge, huge predator, great white shark, came into the environment where they were. Fascinating stories, absolutely amazing. Animals, oh, there's so many stories that people have to share and can tell about how animals have been able to make such a difference in their lives. And I was talking with a cat lover just a couple of days ago when I was down in California, and she said, my animals are just so aware of me and how I feel, and if I'm not feeling good, if something hurts me, they always let me know. They'll stay close. They're going to be there for me. She said, my cats just have taught me so much. Well, cats do get stressed, and they can feel anxiety, anger, even grief, and there's many illnesses that cats will get. We've known that to happen with dogs and with many other types of animals. They pick up on people and often will take on symptoms that their caretakers will have. It's quite fascinating. Cats, though, can get chronic bladder infections, and the sick felines that will get this kind of a condition were more jittery and anxious compared to healthy counterparts, which is understandable. But you know what the major cause was they found with this situation, especially with the bladder infection? It was usually because of another cat in the house. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to be adding a new feline to your environment, you may want to find out the best way to introduce them to the environment so that your animals will have a good chance to adapt to each other. I've got a friend, she has to keep her cats separate. She said they just don't get along at all. She has two cats, they will just fight furiously. And she said they just honestly don't like each other, so she had to set territories for them in the house. Parrots, well, we all know how smart those animals are. They don't just repeat what we say. They often comprehend it far beyond our imagining. They found that also with gorillas, as gorillas have learned sign language and are just so articulate with the sign language just because they don't have the vocal cords as we have. doesn't mean they do not know what's going on. Now, Irene Pepperberg, who has a PhD in animal awareness and treatment of same, she studied birds for 20 years, and she said she found they understand many, many words. They grasp certain concepts, and she said these are creatures that use deductive reasoning. So we often don't realize, unless we are willing to pay attention to what's going on around us, how animals can make such a difference in our world and how they do comprehend a lot more than we give them credit for. Goodness, we've had dogs for 30 years plus, and those creatures, we have noticed, they have their own way of communicating, and they are so very, very special. So animals are a lot smarter than a lot of people think, but of course I know so many of you listening to the show really are animal lovers, and you probably would agree 100% would have stories of your own to share with me. In fact, if you have a story that you'd like to share with me about an animal that has had a special impact on your life, want to give me a call, do that at 877-876-5227. Or in Canada, it's 888-815-9756. You can also send me an email about your personal story, Donna@DelphiInternational.com. Well, I want to let you know about a fabulous event that is coming up. And this event is the Woman's Show. And here in the Pacific Northwest Woman's Show. And they are coming up to their 20th year. It is just an incredible event. It's going to be for three glorious days, the 28th, the 29th, and the 30th. So if you're listening to me and you're in the state of Washington, gals, go ahead and mark that on your calendar. Guys, you're welcome to come out and see what the gals are up to. And just know it will be absolutely packed. There's well over 40,000 women that come out, and the numbers are growing by leaps and bounds every year. Product services. I'm going to be in booth number 406. I'll be doing a talk every day at noon, excepting on Saturday. I'll be talking at 11:30. So just check your programs. You'll find out where I am. Come on over. Say hello. I'll be doing many consultations. But know at the Women's Show that you are going to be having a fabulous experience. It's being held at Quest Field in Seattle, Washington. Go to their website, the Northwest Women's Show. You'll get all the details, all the fun information about the wonderful activities and events that are going to be going on. Teresa Tapp is going to be flying in from Florida. She has been invited to do a special appearance there. So it is going to be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to seeing Teresa because I've talked with her so much, but I have not had a chance to meet her in person. So this is really going to be a very, very special show. So Donna Sebo here. If you want more information, go to my website. Also, my newsletter is late in getting out this month because we have had some evil little gnomes that have gotten into our computer systems, but that's all going to be taken care of shortly. This is Donna Sebo. Rebecca was not able to make it for the interview. We are going to have those open phone lines, 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756. I'll light up your life with a little intuitive insight. Don't go away. We're going to be right back.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, Donna Sebo here. Just a little bit about climate change. Oh, don't forget, you can give me a buzz if you want to chat. The telephone lines are open now, 877-876-5227, Canadians 888-815-9756, or you can call 530-876-3222. Well, there's a new definition of climate change, and I had mentioned to you about how lizards, this was the other day, how they change. Well, and when I was looking at that, I was thinking about some programming that I happened to see on television last night. And it was dealing with New Zealand and many different areas of the globe. And I thought to myself, they talk about all these things that are going on, but you don't hear very much in the way of conversation about volcanic activity. And I wanted to just share with you a few thoughts along those lines, and that it has been my observation, and I know I've had discussions with my husband, and we've gone through different thoughts with this, but no one is paying attention to the fact that there is so much volcanic activity that's going on. And that many areas where the waters are warming up substantially, if you think about what's happening on under the surface of the water, that volcanic activity is what is creating so much of the heat, much more so than what we're doing above the land. However, there's another aspect that we became aware of last night, and that is people are taking a very proactive positioning in certain parts of the world in creating a change in their own environments. And New Zealand is a country that is doing this with an enthusiasm that when we became aware of it, we were really surprised. And it's something I think any country can pick up. And that is they have developed an enterprise where people, when they come into New Zealand, if they want to leave a gift on the island in the area, they can buy a tree. The tree is tagged, and they can keep track on what happens to that tree because there is a file that's put on the internet. So when you buy the tree, you go out, you help the people plant it, and then they give you the information on it. You pick whatever kind you want. I don't remember how many species they work with. Well, the reason that this has become so successful, and it is making a difference with their environment, is that for a long time, trees were just cut down on many, many areas of the New Zealand landmass, and they didn't do anything to replace them. So the people today have become so much more educated. They said, we want to undo the damage that has been done before. And the enthusiasm of the population in New Zealand is such that many, many people are part of groups, various groups, where they pay attention to what's going on in the sea, how the animals are taken care of. They help monitor the various areas of their land mass to be sure that plants are recorded and they know what's happening and how the water is going and so on and so forth. And it is making such a difference. And it is amazing. Even the restaurants are participating in this. There was a time when you could get mussels by the bushel barrel. And, of course, too many of them were removed from the environment. And so now they have protected many species of fish and animals so that they can become, abundant in their environment. And that's what's happened. So the people themselves took on the positioning of responsibility to really make some choices for change. This is absolutely wonderful. And I know that so many people in the United States and many parts of Europe and other areas of the world are doing the same thing. It's hard, though, to change people's paradigms. There are many parts of the world that people have had no other form of fuel for burning or for heat other than wood. So they've decimated their forests. Look at what happened to Easter Island. That place used to be plush and lush with trees. One of the greatest opportunities for that inventive soul or souls is to come up with a form of energy that's going to give heat, that's going to enable to cook food where you don't have to violate the resources. And there might be a cold energy of some kind that an individual could design and develop that would enable one to have what they want without destroying the environments around them. When I think of the way things were when I was growing up and how nobody was too concerned about the trees or the water, we were very naive and very ignorant. We did not realize, one, we were going to have like 7 billion people on the planet, but two, that there was going to be this overfishing. There's going to be this overpopulation concern. There's going to be all of these variables, pesticides, toxins, that we had no idea would even come into fruition. But here we are in a world that has been blessed by a lot of these changes, and at the same time, it's created problems. So as always, as human beings, we have the option. We can make a difference, we can come up with solutions, or we can moan and groan and complain about it. But I really think that somewhere, someone is going to be able to come up with a solution for energy that is not going to, one, be harmful to the environment, two, make it portable, and three, cost-effective and efficient so that it can be taken to just about any part of the world. I know I've got a vivid imagination, but hey, isn't that where invention comes from? And there's a saying, necessity is the mother of invention, and it seems like that's what we do so frequently. And I know that we're going to be rebooking the guest that I was supposed to have today, Rebecca. And that's something that she brings out in her material, Silicon Dragon. So as soon as I'm able to rebook her, I will be glad to pass that information along to you. Buddha's image is gracing a hidden mountain cave. In Nepal, archaeologists have discovered wall paintings that give information. They have scenes that describe Buddha's life. Now, this all has to do, obviously, with archaeology, as I said, but this was found, and the paintings are absolutely beautiful. I have the information in front of me. There was a shepherd from a tiny mountain kingdom of Mustang in northeastern Nepal that just recently led Western archaeologists to this phenomenal and exceptional find. The shepherd had first seen colorful paintings on the walls of a distant cave when he was taking shelter during a very bad storm. Now, they searched for over 3 weeks, and archaeologists and the spelunkers found the paintings nearly buried by snow at an altitude of 11,000 feet. Now, these are murals that they discovered, all of which depict scenes from Buddha's life. They are approximately, to the best of their evaluation, 900 years old, One mural is about 25 feet wide, and there are 55 smaller paintings that measure about 14 by 17 inches. Isn't that amazing? We're having so many unique points of history and information that are being discovered by people. But this sounds like something out of a fairy tale, a shepherd finding a cave that he just happens to go into because of a violent storm. Ah, yes, that's the way it is. That's the way it goes. This is Donna Sebo, and I do want to remind you about the Pacific Northwest Women's Show. It's coming up. It's such an exciting event, and I'm so pleased to be a part of it. Go to their website, Northwest Women's Show, and look at all of the wonderful things that are going on. Every year, it gets to be more and more exciting. They've got special events happening. They've got fabulous products and services that you're going to be able to peruse through. Gals, it's a great time to play. Get a bunch of friends together, carpool in, and it starts at 10 in the morning, goes until 6 in the evening. It's being held at the Quest Convention Center, and it is just absolutely marvelous. You'll get all of the ticketing information, everything that you need to have. We are going to have a dynamic event, and I'm going to be in booth 406. You can come on by. I'll be doing many consultations, and I'm going to have an abundance of books there. So we're just going to have a wonderful opportunity to chat. And don't forget, you'll be able to meet Teresa Tapp. She's going to be presenting information on her TTAP program, and it's going to be a delight to be able to meet her in person. And don't forget, her special is going on this week, so you can get her TTAP core program, and I encourage you to do that. Donna Sebo here. We are going to be taking a break for a moment. When we come back, phone lines are open. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. Remember, all I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then after that, just let me do my thing. I'll give you information about yourself, and then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you like. I'm an information resource, and you have an opportunity to call in and chat with me right now. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break. Don't go away. We're going to be right back.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756 and 530-876-3222. Well, we're being bombarded with all kinds of presidential stuff. Do you know who was the only president to remain a bachelor? Well, that was James Buchanan. He was the 15th president. He apparently intended to marry, but his fiancée, Anne Carolyn Coleman, took her life after a lover's quarrel. That leaves you with a lot of questions in your mind, doesn't it? But that's one little bit of trivia. And the only president that was ever a prisoner of war, you know who that was? Well, that was Andrew Jackson. That's right. He was the 7th president of the United States. He was taken by the British in a skirmish at Hanging Rock and was imprisoned at Camden, South Carolina, for a short period in 1781. Now, at the time that this happened, he was only 14 years old. And then the last little bit of trivia I'd like to share with you is you can name the vice president to succeed to the presidency without ever going through the election process for either office. That's right. Didn't go through the election process for either office. Do you know who that was? That was House Minority Leader Gerald Ford. He was nominated by President Richard Nixon to succeed Vice President Spiro Agnew, who had resigned. Ford then became the 38th president on August 9, 1974, after Nixon resigned over the Watergate scandal. Fascinating little bits of trivia there about U.S. presidents and what has happened in the political process. Well, I thought I would share with you a story about how nature can cure. And the reason I wanted to share this with you is people are resourceful. They will come up with innovative ways to be able to address conditions. And many times when they come up with these innovative ways, they maybe had a very personal vested interest in developing this, but then they expanded. And that is what happened with a man called Michael Muir. Now, he is the great-grandson of the famed naturalist John Muir. And his story, I thought, was really quite special. Now, he has horses that are connected with a particular kind of a carriage. And these horses have a very special job that they do. The carriage is also quite special because on the carriage there is a special motorized ramp that lowers from the back that enables students, disabled students, to get on board the specially designed carriage. Then they're off. Once they're all fastened in, they're off for the ride and experience of their life. Now, they're out in California, out in the California Delta, and Mr. Muir takes these students and they go on a particular tour of Rush Ranch. Now, this is a 2,070-acre nature preserve where California's two great river drainages, the San Joaquin and Sacramento, come together, and then they flow out towards San Francisco. These young students that are out on the ranch with Mr. Muir, they're members of a special education class from a nearby community of Fairfield. And this is the first time these students will have ever experienced the out-of-doors, as they will have the opportunity to have when they go to this ranch. Now, he has a passion for preserving the natural environment. And he just absolutely loves it. But Mr. Muir's life was changed by a disease. It was MS, multiple sclerosis. And in getting this disability and having it affect him so strongly, he decided he was going to develop a business called Access Adventure. And there's a number of ranchers and horse lovers and disabled people and their friends and families that have come together to make this a very special association. And they have rides, they do hiking treks, they do all kinds of things. And he said the reason he established this is that people always focus on what their limits are. However, he found that nature is a healing force that is, well, just immeasurable. He said when he collapsed at high school at the age of 15 and learned that he had MS, it was really terrifying to him. But he said, I decided I wasn't going to let the disease get to me. what he did, he focused on horses. That was his passion. And he said, I was already taking care of horses. And he said, when I was in the hospital, my greatest motivation was to get back with him. And you know what? Against all odds, he ended up developing a career breeding, riding, and training horses on farms in California as well as Kentucky. Now, in the 1990s, he was really hit hard by MS. And he came across an article, he said, that sounded too good to be true. What the article said is that they were on a nationwide search for people with disabilities to try out for a team to go to the World Carriage Driving Championship for the disabled. He couldn't pass that up. Well, he tried out for it, made the team, and they had carriages that were designed from a British design for disabled horse lovers. And carriages were quite primitive, he said, but he just met the nicest people. And when he was on this team, he met a Quaker couple from Indiana. They were horse breeders, and they decided they could improve on the carriage design, and that included a battery-powered electric lift. And Muir said that's when he got the idea. He realized the carriages could be used for far more than just raising. He said they were very tough, and they were relatively lightweight. And they could take someone who can't ever leave their home and put them right out in the beauty of nature. So Mr. Muir got together with the gardeners, said, what do you think? You think you can build me some more, but I'd like it so that we could have more than one person in the carriage, and we have to design it for wheelchairs. Well, they did. And 2005 was the very first year when they started their first outing. And he found that the healing power of taking people into the outdoors was absolutely amazing. One of the people that he took, one of the students, was an 18-year-old named William Stewart who has cystic fibrosis. And Stewart has become so excited about being a part of this that at 18, even though he has this disease that could be totally debilitating, he has become very much involved with Mr. Muir. He cleans, works for the harnesses, and he even gets to drive the carriages with these animals who make this wonderful, wonderful access adventure happening. So Muir just keeps working with him, and he said, I love what I do. I really, absolutely feel like the heart of the mountains is the song of God. Who would have thought his great-grandson of Muir would show that the mountains and all of nature can bring hope and healing? And again, Mr. Muir says it's the power of nature. It heals all of us. And I think that's so true. This is Donna Sebo. If you have a special story, don't forget to send it to me, to Donna@DelphiInternational.com, and know that I am getting emails now. So we have got part of our situations with the computers repaired and in order, and I'd love to hear from you. If you have any comments or suggestions about authors or subjects you'd like discussed on the show, let me know. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Have a fabulous day, and just know that this is a gift. Take time. Go outside for a walk. Spring's here. Yes, it is. I see those things, those wonderful plants coming up through the ground. Before you know it, those flowers are going to be blooming. Enjoy. This is Donna. Talk to you same time, same place tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.